supporters again. We got some basic Bible reference cards. They're not exhaustive by any means, but they are something that can fit in a Bible or in a purse. And I had one when I was a kid, and so she started studying. We got one for her, and we wanted one for Elizabeth, and they cost 23 cents, but the shipping was $9, so I could not buy just one. But really, they are a good thing to have. If y'all are interested, we have 24 of them, so want some. They are good, and they're nice to have if you know, you're like, well, where would it be a Bible on once saved, always saved, or baptism, or something like that. So, those are available. So, continuing on in our question, someone asked if dancing was wrong. And, of course, it wouldn't be an interesting class if the answer was yes or no. And you go, well, now wait a second, Saint. Well, so when we hear the word dancing, we bring with it all the thoughts that we have and everything else, and we have to, you know, set those aside because we're going to look to what? The Bible. Okay? Are there different types of dancing? Very different. We have David dancing before the ark. We have it's a time to dance in Ecclesiastes, and then, you know, we have things that happen in nightclubs in Houston on a Friday night. I would hope everyone would agree that that's quite a wide variety of activities, and we need to evaluate how we're going to approach them as people who follow God, right? So, as always, we need to back up to the principle before we start trying to get into the details. Because if, you know, it'd be very easy for me to sit down with the elders and the elders go, yes, no, yes, no, no, yes, no, and have the list. We put it up there and we go, any questions? And then everybody sits down and we've done nothing, right? Except tell you what the elders think. Now, those all could be based on biblical principles, and the elders are mature Christians, and I greatly respect and love them, so I think it would be a good list. But we're to help each other gain an understanding, because when we have the principle, then we can make good choices, right? Because more than likely, we're going to miss one in the list, right? Or how many people are going to memorize the list? And they go, oh, yeah, well, January 9th in 2022, which was 30 years ago, we got a list. You know, it's going to be old and faded and everything. So what we want to do is, most of us hopefully have an understanding of dancing that is based on biblical principles, right? That would be perfect, right? More than likely, we have a little biblical principles mixed with what our parents allowed, what we did when we were teenagers, what the others around us did, what experiences we've had, right? And all of that is combined to that gut reaction when I said the word dancing, what you have. And only one of those is valid, is what the Bible says. So let's look at some principles that we need to exemplify as Christians. What types of attitudes, what types of activities that we should be involved in and have. And then we can start applying that to the various activities that fall under this big umbrella of dance. So, when we think of things like dancing, what principles do you think we should look at? Biblical principles. Modesty, right? We've talked about that. Modesty in behavior and dress. So, what does modest dress mean? And where do we find that in Scripture? Well, then you're turning someplace. Where are you going? When you think of modest dress, right, we need to be careful in how we draw attention to ourselves, right? We often mean that as unclothed, as immodest dress, but overdressing, 1 Peter 3:3. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is in God's sight very precious. Now this was written specifically to women, but I say that it also applies to men also, right? That our dress should not be ostentatious, drawing attention to ourselves. In this time, it was putting on more clothes, jewelry, and those things, which we can still draw the wrong kind of attention that way. But in this society, we often draw attention to ourselves by less clothes, right? Both are wrong. So, I had just started working with my brothers, and we were trying to hire a bookkeeper type person, and you know, taking a while, so we had a young woman come in to answer phones. And she came in a tracksuit or a running suit or whatever, and you're like, really not what we were looking for. We need to dress professionally. And being a, you know, 29-year-old dude, I didn't really know how to explain to a young woman what appropriate dress is. So she dressed like she was going to a club, is how she explained it, because that's nice. And it was very, very revealing. And so now, here's another 29-year-old guy trying to explain to some 20-year-old girl, that's not what I had in mind. And it was a very awkward situation. But she, you know, dressing to go out to the club, it was didn't cover a lot. It was very accentuating and things like that. So it, again, wasn't appropriate for you know, what we were trying to accomplish. Right. So 1 Timothy 2:9, respectable apparel with modesty and self-control, not again with this ostentatious packing it on kind of idea. Yes, Jessica. Right. And so the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. I think it's a very, very good place that we could think about for respectable dress, but also dancing in general. So, should we have the fruits of the Spirit at all times? Yes, not a trick question. Should we have none of the works of the flesh, which are, starting in verse 19? Alright. So now the works of the flesh in verse 19, let's look, Jeremy, would you read Galatians 5:19-21? Thank you. Very hard list to read because it's like very, but okay, so we take this list and the net result of it, those who do these things, what happens to them? Will not inherit the kingdom of God. So, my suggestion is can some types of dancing have some of these fruits or works of the flesh in them? Could they encourage some of these, right? So, we start off. Sexual immorality. Can dancing contribute to sexual immorality? Right. So, I knew I was going to have to do this kind of class sometime. So back in 2012, there was an article about Dancing with the Stars, right? And I don't like the title, but I think it's important. Bumping and grinding on Dancing with the Stars leads to off-screen hookups between dancers and stars. You shouldn't be surprised at that. They say when you have two single people in a room and you're spending so much time together, it's natural to have chemistry and to be curious, one of the pro dancers says. All of a sudden you think you're in love because you're grinding on each other 7 days a week. This was, again, by a person who's a professional dancer that is on this show. Backstage love connections happen a lot more than people think. And they rarely end well. I guess that's all, but I have a printout of this, and it is not something that was written by Christians trying to say dancing is bad. This is just a bunch of people who have no problem with dancing saying, well, you know, hey, that stuff happens. But as Christians, do we go, well, stuff like that happens, or do we try to do what with that fleas, right? So, one thing I don't want us to do, and it happens more in classes than I'm still shocked. In today's world, and I think it's been this way for a long time, there's a large percentage of Christians who get married who are not virgins at their wedding. Right? the fact. And it's sin if you have sex out of marriage, but these same people then have children and pretend that their children will not be tempted in that way. It's like, no, little Billy, he's perfect. He would never, well, really? If Billy does not have severe emotional difficulties, if he is physically healthy, then guess what? He has these desires. And little, you know, Susie, if she is physically healthy and does not be emotionally disturbed, she's going to have these same feelings. They got to be, we can't pretend they don't exist. We need to work within the context that they exist. And when you get to be 30 or 40 or something, they just don't disappear, right? Often people are like, well, you know, hey, there are congregations where the preacher runs off with the elder's wife. That happens. And it's very, very sad. It's sin. It breaks marriage. But these things exist. We have to not pretend. We have to pretend, not pretend that they don't exist. We cannot pretend that this isn't temptation. Just like Zeke was talking about. We struggle against this. And it's easier when you're married and when you're older because we can do that. But this exists. Yes, that's it. Sexual immorality. How many different ways are we to handle sexual immorality from a biblical basis? Run away or get married. Those are the only two things. Right? That's the only two biblical ways that you handle sexual immorality. Run away, pull a Joseph, right? Or you get married so that you can partake in the sexual union in marriage the way God has designed, and it's a good and beautiful and wonderful thing. Okay, those are the two things. So let's take a bunch of teenagers, put them in a darkened room. Good idea, bad idea, right? It's a bad idea, right? You know, and we can say, well, you know, but you know, is it a good idea? No. So we're going to continue on that. So sexual immorality, what is the definition of sexual immorality? What was that? To be immoral sexually. Yeah. You didn't do well on definition test in English. Yeah. The English teacher Tracy's one. Mm-hmm. Nope. Can't use the words in the definition. Right. Okay. Sexual immorality is any physical activity between people who aren't married to each other. Okay. Any physical activity. Right. Yes, that's it. Yes, it is a broad definition. So what is the biblical definition? How do we apply that biblically? Right. Right. And so yes, we need to take sexual morality out and replace it with fruits of the Spirit, but I think we need to drill down and look at this word. That's a very good, very, very good definition. Any sexual pleasure, gratification that you receive outside of marriage. But I think that kind of covers the concerns that Jessica brought up. Any, whether looking, touching, rubbing against, the other types of things, activities that end in the word sex, you know, not just, fornication, but sexual immorality is getting sexual pleasure outside of marriage. Okay? So that is something that we cannot do. Impurity. What is impurity? The pure in heart will what? What is beatitude? Will see the face of God. Pure in heart. So what is impurity? Not seeking God. And again, you know, we can say, yes, the fruits of the Spirit drive this out. Impurity is anything which makes us impure, that reduces the cleanliness or keeps the cleanliness of our body, right, by physical action. But Jesus says what? We got to control not only our actions, but our thoughts. Contamination. Yes, we're contaminated with worldly influences. So, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 27, we're gonna come back to the fruits of the Spirit. So I'm gonna pull Ezekiel and mark it. There could be worse things to be accused of me, so. 5:27. Mr. Mock, would you read 5:27 and 28? Okay. Adultery's wrong, right? Jesus is not saying that adultery's not wrong, right? Adultery's wrong. But, we're gonna go one step further, we're gonna say what? What does Jesus say here? You look at a woman with lust. And obviously this is general nature of women if you look at men. The lust after them, right? Is that sin also? It's not adultery, but it's still sin. And we need to stay away from sin. Right? Right. Exactly. So we need to, you know, and we're going to look at that, the next few verses in about, you know, if your eye causes you to stumble, you know, to cast it out, to do that. But, so we're going, and our goal is to not have lust, right? What is lust? Desire. Inordinate desire, unlawful desire, right? Desire outside marriage. You can obviously desire your spouse, but if they're not your spouse, then now it comes into this idea of lust. This desire that is, you know, consuming your thoughts. So, when we take this and we look at this in the context of dancing, in pure thought. We want to maintain pure thoughts. We want our children to maintain pure thoughts. We want people that we want everyone in the world to maintain this purity of thought. How do we apply that to dancing? What was David doing in front of that ark? You may have thought about that. He was rejoicing. He was celebrating, right? When something good happens, you know, you go to the competition and everybody's waiting, you know, to see who wins, you know, whatever it is, and then they won and they jump up and they're like, yeah! That's your happy dance, right? Is there anything wrong with that? No. That is rejoicing, right? But, if you put two people, or a bunch of people, in a room, and one preacher put it like this, if you take a teenage girl and a teenage boy, and you put the boy's hands on the girl's sides like this, and you're moving with the music, and you think that the boy, and probably the girl, has no problem not having impure thought. This is what the preacher said, and I think it's kind of funny. He said, you're either a woman who doesn't understand men, or you're a moron. Thought that was pretty insightful. Yeah, so, okay. Very true, and that's the reason we're not looking at just the verses of what dancing is mentioned, but, you know, like when you see dancing in the Old Testament, Miriam took the women to dance, and the Ben went over here to dance. Very different than the modern dance today. That's a very good point. Without the music, what does it do? Yes, sir. No, it's a very, very good point. And so, the thought that, you know, that Cheryl brought up about without the music there. If I walked into a room and Tracy and a man were standing like that together, I would be unhappy. To say the least, right? So why does the music make it okay? Right? Does the music make it okay? Not in my world. I don't care if there's music on or not. No, that wouldn't happen with Tracy, but still, I would be upset. I would be very upset, and we've got to really think about that. Yes, Jessica. No, and I agree 100%. I think what we need to, we could say, do the fruits of the Spirit, do not take in any part in the works of darkness, and we could say, good, have a great day. And that is an appropriate thing to say about dancing. I think we're looking at some of these details because it is important, because it seems like we need to talk through together as a people the different things and attitudes that are found in the scripture in detail so that we can make good choices. So that's kind of what we're doing. And, yeah, I mean, we could have stopped the sexual immorality, said if it's involved in that, don't do it. It would have been fine. But I think it's important to look at the different ways the scripture talks about these concepts. So that's the reason we're continuing on. So, sensuality. What is sensuality? Right. Things that arouse the senses, indecent bodily movement, and provoking, yes. So I was having lunch with a bunch of people from work one day years and years ago, and one of the men there said, his daughter's in the belly dancing. And it was kind of crazy because there's, you know, if I remember, about 10 different engineers and guys, and everybody kind of looks up. And he blushes and goes, well, it's good to strengthen the core. She has some back issues. And you're like, and everybody just kind of looks at him and nobody says a word. He's a CP. Right? And so that is something that, you know, sensuality of the movement. The dress isn't great either. But, you know, when I think of Herod's stepdaughter, or however you want to say her, I bet that was the wrong kind of dance. And it led to someone getting their head chopped off, so that probably wasn't a good start, right? She might have been doing physical feats of acrobatics, but more than likely, I think in the context, I would say that would probably be something more akin to this Middle Eastern, you know, belly dance kind of thing. So, need to be careful with this. And the movements that we do, yes, Heather. Yeah, right. Right, and so I would say that we even need to step back and say, don't say that dancing's wrong. Say that some types of dancing is wrong. And that's, I know it, I'm semantics, I know what you mean, but I think saying it the right way helps to reduce confusion. Yes, sir. Right. Our intent, but also what the result of it is. And now, I'm saying that is that naive people get in bad situations. One of the things I thought of is in College Station, you know, I had a lot of college students and a young woman, I think she was maybe a sophomore, maybe a junior, in college came to Tracy and I, and she goes, I was on the dance team in high school. My parents were Christians. I'm a Christian, and they let me do that. And she was in tears, mortified that she had done that for 4 years, and she was just ashamed that the motions and the things that she did, she considered that sensuality, you know, what the motions that were happening, the things she involved in. Now, that was only girls out on, you know, the gym floor or wherever they did it, but she was heartbroken that she had participated in that. And why did my parents let me do that? They should have said no. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, she was innocent. Her intent, there was nothing bad about it, but when she finally got to an age where that wasn't that veil of negativity wasn't there, she was like, this is horrible. Why did they let me do this? And we need to think about that. And so, intent's important, but we can get involved in things just in a, some of us are more naive than others, you know, and we can't say that they have bad intent, but maybe they're just naive and don't understand where it's going. One more anecdote, in the sensuality. I was talking to this guy, also from work, and he was laughing about his daughter. His daughter got made the cheerleading team. And he said, there's one little thing with this hip movement thing that she just can't ever get. And man, she's practicing, she just can't get those hip movements right. I did not know what to say. Should anyone be practicing hip movements for public consumption? You know, I was like, I didn't know what, you know, I'm like, I don't think it's funny. I think it's horribly sad that you're okay with your daughter practicing hip movements for a routine. Whatever it is. I would say one more. But I'm going to make another one. We went we went to see one of the Christians from College Station play basketball at A&M. Tracy and I, you know, we're sports fanatics, so we've been there a lot. No, we've never been there. We get there, and they, A&M has a drill team, dance team, whatever it calls, and they march onto the gym floor on halftime, and they are literally simulating sex acts laying on the floor. A woman in front of us goes, was the mother of one of the girls there, and goes, aren't they together? Man, the synchronization is amazing. And I'm just like, how are you not running down there and ripping your daughter, however old she is, and going, no! I mean, it was horrible. To those, they were in college, but did they understand what they were doing? No, but that it wasn't good. And we've got to think about these things. And do it. Yes. They can go 180 out, but either way, kids can make bad choices. And my thought on this is if it's wrong, if it's sin, we should not allow our children to do it. Because we're the one, her parents, her dad, her mom should have said, it's not good. We're not going to let you do that. Now, there are kids who come from restrictive backgrounds that do go, whew. But when I read in the Bible how children are to be raised, that's in a restrictive background. And the kid then chooses. But what we're doing is we're training our kids' conscience. So when they hear the word dancing, that inertial reaction, we have a lot of control over that. If we let them and all that, then they're going to have a certain reaction. We're training their conscience until it's going to be trained further as they go out. So we got to be careful with this. Now, I think we need explanations. Why? Not just don't. Why? Explaining, and it's annoying how many times I have to explain to my kids, but they change. It seems every day they understand a little more and they need it explained again. But we're almost out of time, but it's very important that we say some things are just not allowed. So we'll obviously continue on. Thank you very much for all of your comments.